Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Read from Hebrews 3. So we are holy brothers who share together in a heavenly calling. Brothers of Christ, set apart for God's glory. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the one in whom you believe. He is your apostle who faithfully fulfilled the commission given him by God. He is your high priest who offered the perfect sacrifice on your behalf. So listen, verse 7, listen to what the Holy Spirit says. If you hear God speaking to you today, do not harden your hearts against what he says. Today, with God, it's always today. The only relationship that you have with the Lord is the relationship that you have with him today. You can't relate to him as you related in the past. You certainly can't relate to him as you will relate to him in the future. As far as God is concerned, everything is about today. So today, if you hear his voice, it matters to God how you respond today. You can't put off today what he is saying to you today and say, well, I'll think about it and respond to it tomorrow. It has to be today. So there's never any point in looking back because the blessings of the past are not the blessings of today. The failure of the past has been washed away, so it has no relevance today. Even what God will do tomorrow has no significance for today. In fact, he will only do tomorrow inasmuch as you respond to him today, because your response to him today will determine what he does tomorrow. Are we getting this?
Yes.
So everything is vital and is vitally important in our relationship with God. He speaks to you every day. Whether you hear him or not is another matter, but he speaks to you every day. And so how you respond to him every day is significant. Now, one of the things that you hear me reminding you of again and again is that God is the great I am. Not I was or I will be. He's the great I am. So he is all that he is today. And you, as one of those holy children of God that we just heard of in the scripture, you are who you are today. Amen. You are a brother of Christ. You are in Christ. He is in you. What matters, therefore, to God is how you relate to him today, how you respond to him today. All the statements about the nature and character of Jesus are all statements about who he is now. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so on. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. All these things speak of the present reality of who Christ is. And We know from the scripture that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So those blessings are present. If he has imparted them, they are ours now. And what God intends, therefore, is that we live in the good of all that he has imparted, and we live in the good of those things now. Whatever God does in our lives, day by day, is always the response, the immediate response to what he is saying and doing in our lives at any given moment. God's purpose is that we relate to him not just day by day, but moment by moment, really. If he is living in you, his purpose for you can't be anything less than that. Now, one of the things that he reveals to us in Scripture is that Christ is our holiness, our righteousness, and our redemption. He reveals a lot of other things about him. He is our provider, our healer, the one who is present, and so on. But let's just take these for a moment. If he is my righteousness, or my holiness, he is my holiness now. It isn't that he will be my holiness in the future, he is my holiness now. And Paul, in the same chapter of 1 Corinthians, says that he has sanctified us in Christ Jesus and called us to be holy. So this means that at this moment, at any given moment, I am sanctified, I am made holy, I am consecrated to God now. I didn't do that, that's what he did for me. So I am holy in Christ, H-O-L-Y, as well as W-H-O-L-L-Y. I am holy in both ways, both senses, in Christ now. Therefore, I am called to be holy, which means that the holiness of Christ is to be seen in my life now. I am not waiting for holiness. He has imparted his holiness, so I am able to be holy because he is my holiness now. So actually, I have no excuse for not living in his holiness now and every given moment of every given day. Every moment that God gives to me, every day he gives to me, that holiness which is mine in Christ is to be seen in me now and in you now. And you can't avoid that because that is God's call upon your life, as that scripture just said. So we are holy brothers. That's holy brothers of Christ, not just holy brothers of one another, who share together in a heavenly calling, brothers of Christ set apart for God's glory. That's all now. Now, if he is my righteousness and everything that God does is right, it's righteous, he never does anything in unrighteousness, clearly. He is my righteousness. I don't have a holiness of my own, but he is my holiness. I don't have a righteousness of my own, but he is my righteousness. So he is my righteousness now. I therefore have the responsibility to live every moment of the day in that righteousness. I can't say that I can't be righteous because he is my righteousness, and he therefore will enable my righteousness. He will enable me to be right in all that I do. See, it would be total deception to say, well, because Christ is my holiness, it doesn't matter whether I live in holiness or not. Christ is my holiness in order that I would be holy and live in holiness. He is my righteousness in order that I will be righteous and will actually live and walk in righteousness, that what I say, what I do, will all be righteous because he is in me and he is my righteousness. And the same is true for you. The same is true for every one of us. So we are not waiting for holiness. We are not waiting for righteousness. We're not actually waiting for anything because all that God desires, he has already imparted to us. It is already there within you. Now, you know, when I've been teaching you about healing, I say that the problem for many people is that they don't get healed or they don't receive the healing because to them the healing is always in the future. The way they pray, God is going to heal me. I believe God is going to heal me. I believe God is going to heal me. I believe God will heal me. I believe God has given me a promise that he will heal me. And it's all in the future. And while it's in the future, it can never be in the present. So just as we are to believe that by his stripes we have been healed, therefore my healing is present. It's now. Today is the day of salvation. Yes. If I hear his voice today, I will not harden my heart against and say, well, not today, Lord, but today is the day of my healing. I'm living in his healing today because he is my healer today, and because according to scripture, he is my healing today. I don't have to say, well, I'm waiting for him to heal me sometime in the future. I'm living in his healing today. Now, the same thing, you see, is true of every aspect of God's life. It's for me, therefore, for you also, to live in his holiness today, to live in his righteousness today. And as we read the Gospels and the Epistles, but the Gospels especially, we see how what that means for Jesus, what it means for the children of God to be living in righteousness in a right way. This is what the whole Sermon on the Mount is about, how to live the life of the kingdom of God here on earth. And Jesus is not saying, one day, sometime in the future, this is how I want my children to live. He's talking about how to live today, how to live now, how to live in the present. And of course, what has happened since Jesus preached that sermon is that he has died on the cross, is glorified in heaven, and has poured out his Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit lives in us to enable us to live out that teaching today. So it would be totally hypocritical to say, well, Lord, I'll live a holy life tomorrow. God says, no, 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 I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about today. Well, Lord, I'll do what is right tomorrow. No, no, I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about today. Well, Lord, I'll obey your commands tomorrow. You say, I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about today. Obedience is for today. Obedience is always today. If you're obedient today, you will be obedient tomorrow. But you see, if you're not obedient today, you're saying, Lord, I will live in disobedience today, and then I'll consider obedience tomorrow. Who are you to treat God like that? Who do you think you are to dare to treat God like that? You see, that's not only great hypocrisy, it's tremendous pride. To set yourself up against the purpose of God and yet to have the hypocrisy of saying, I praise you, Lord. Do you really think you can fool God like that? You see, as far as God is concerned, Everything is for now. If you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the day of rebellion. That's what the scripture goes on to say. And you say to hear God and not to put his word into practice is rebellion. There's no other word for it. You are rebelling against the authority of God if you were to do that. Now, of course, it's not a matter of legalistically doing what God wants. Although, let's be absolutely sure, absolutely clear about this. Not one little part, not one iota, that's a little mark, really, a little dot. Not one dot of the law has passed away. Everything is to be fulfilled, has been fulfilled in Christ and is to be fulfilled, therefore, in you. Amen. Don't get seduced by that lie that comes from the pit of hell that you do not have to obey God's moral law. The ceremonial law, the law about sacrifice and everything of the Old Testament has passed away. God no longer requires those sacrifices. That is clear from Scripture, because the one great sacrifice that can never be repeated has now been made. So no other sacrifices for sin are necessary. So that has passed away. But the commands of God concerning his moral law have not passed away. Those are reiterated by Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, I haven't come to destroy the law, I've come to fulfill the law. So, a holy people are definitely an obedient people. But their obedience doesn't come out of legalism, it comes out of love. And it comes out of a response to the love of God for them. We love because he first loved us. And to disobey God is to kick him in the teeth, really. It's to throw his love back in his face and to say, well, thank you for all your love for me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. But I'm not really too interested in doing your will. That clearly would be a crazy kind of response, but it's still the response in the hearts of some of you that are in this room here this morning. And I know it, but what matters more than anything is God knows it. And you cannot fool around with God, so I'm just giving you a warning from him. Then unless you measure up to what it is God is saying, watch out, because you're dealing with a holy God. And if you cannot obey those who you do see, you certainly will not obey God who you do not see. So, disobedience isn't an option. Either what you're supposed to do here, what you're supposed to do in relation to any in the leadership here, any way in which God is actually confronting you with his will and his purpose for your life. Now, praise God, that was not a word for all of you, but it was a word for a few of you. And because God's love and care and compassion, concern is for all of us, he will address all of us. As you see Paul writing his letters, there's a great variety of people in the new churches, but he addresses different sections, if you like. Those with different backgrounds, those that come from a pagan background, those that come from a Jewish legalistic background. John does the same. I speak to you fathers, I speak to you children, and so on. All the time, you see, God wants to address every single person where they are now.
Amen.
Not where they should be sometime in the future, but where they are now. So God puts us in a position where we don't have any room for maneuver. He's given us His word, which is to be fulfilled in our lives. He's given us His Spirit to enable that will, that word, to be fulfilled in our lives. And there isn't any escape from that. The only thing outside of that is disobedience and ultimately rebellion against the authority of God, of His word, of His will, of His purpose. Now, praise God, most of us have been through this period of time in these last few weeks where God has brought us to perhaps a greater surrender of our lives to Him than most of us have ever known before. That's great. But you see, the way you surrendered yesterday may not be the way you surrender today. So surrender is not a historic event that took place at some point earlier in the term. Surrender is something that happens in your life today. That you live submitted to the Lord today. That you want His best for your life today. Hello. This is the, if you like, the challenging thing about the Christian life. That you can't, like last week, we had that great breakthrough when we pulled down all the barriers and so on and so on. But as we were warned on that particular morning, the breakthrough is not the time to rest. The breakthrough is the time to advance. Because the breakthrough makes the advance possible. But what is important is the advance, that we take the land, that we take the territory. And first of all, of course, we have to ensure that all the territory in our own hearts and lives is given to the Lord today and every day. Amen. There's a lie and a deception abroad in some aspects of God's church, generally speaking, where people think it's enough to say, well, if Jesus is my holiness, if Jesus is my righteousness, if Jesus is my salvation, then I'm safe. And people don't necessarily want to face up to the fact that, well, if He is my holiness, then it is incumbent upon me for me to live a holy life. If He is my righteousness, then I must walk in righteousness. If He is my redemption, then I must walk in constant forgiveness and therefore in constant mercy towards others. Because if I don't walk in mercy towards others, I can't expect God to be merciful to me. In fact, He certainly won't be merciful to me because He says that clearly in His word. Therefore, it's absolutely necessary and vital that I live as a redeemed, forgiven, merciful person. Are we all getting this? So praise God, He has become for us everything that we need, but our responsibility is to be what therefore He has called us to be. Now, this is where God again addresses the desires of our hearts. You see, the question is, do you want to be holy today? Because with God, it's all today. Do you want to be righteous today? Not self-righteous, but to see the righteousness of Christ in you today. If I said, do you want to live in your healing today, there would probably be a yes. But this is true, you see, of every aspect of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Do you want to live like Jesus today? If you don't, then what are you going to say to God? Well, I don't want to live like you today, but I'll think about it tomorrow. Oh, well, Lord, I don't want to be obedient today because I've got a, you know, I've got another agenda. There's something else going on over here on the sidelines of my life. And I just want to sort of focus on that, and I'll get back to you when I feel like it. Doesn't sound quite right, really, does it? It's always now, and now is not just today, it's at this moment. When you hear his voice, so when you hear his voice, the answer is always yes, Lord, because you cannot say no, Lord, when he puts his will before you. Say, no, I'm not going to do that, Lord, is a denial of his lordship in your life. If he is Lord, then it's always yes. Amen? Yes to what he's saying. So we realize that God's concern is not just to bring us into a holy state, but a holy way of life. Not just to a righteous condition in relation to God, but a righteous way of living our lives out every moment of every day. That God's purpose is that we are living out our redemption, walking in that mercy continuously every day. God's mercy to us, our mercy towards others. Today. And of course, when we realize that it's not just a question of experiencing his holiness or experiencing the righteousness of God in some way, but of actually having to do it, that throws us completely back in dependence upon him and saying, Lord, well, I can't live a holy life today, even though that's the desire of my heart, without complete dependence upon you and your holiness and your spirit of holiness at work within me. So we are immediately thrown back onto dependence upon him. Now, of course, what the writer to Hebrews goes on to say after that passage that we read at the beginning is this is what leads us into what he calls the rest of faith. That we're not striving to be something that we ought to be, but we have this rest, we have this dependence upon, this rest of faith, this dependence upon him that enables his holiness, his righteousness, his redemption, his healing, his whatever else, to be expressed in us and through us. Are we getting this? But what we, in order to have that motivation, we must understand that what God is concerned about is your walk with him, what you do, in other words, how you take each step of each day in love, in faith, in dependence upon him, in obedience to his commands, because you're walking in love at one with him. You see, it's so easy to deceive ourselves, isn't it? To thinking, right, Christ is my holiness, Christ is my redemption, he's done everything for me on the cross. And I'm satisfied with the way I'm living now. or I want more in prayer. I want to encounter God more in prayer. I want to experience more in prayer. I want those meetings with him that I hear Pastor Colin talking about. Oh, yes, I want more and more of that. But actually what God is saying, well, I'll give you more and more of that so long as what you're really concerned about is your walk. Because I'm not in the business of giving experiences to people for the sake of having experiences, but only so that they can walk in love, in obedience, in faith, in righteousness, in holiness. Are we there? So you read the Sermon on the Mount, for example, and everything that Jesus is talking about is what you are to do and not do. It's a sermon about how to live the life of God's kingdom here on earth. It's actually a sermon about practical holiness. It's a sermon about righteousness. And you know, Jesus keeps saying in that sermon, when you pray, when you fast, when you do this, when you do that. Not if you do, but when you do. Because if we're to live as disciples, we don't have an option. You see, it is incumbent upon us to live the life that Jesus calls us to live. And he says, well, if you're going to be a disciple and follow me, then you've got to deny yourself. You've got to deny what you want. You've got to deny any desire of your own that's going to conflict with what you do in holiness and righteousness. You've just got to deny any desire within yourself to be disobedient to what I'm asking of you. Last week, we realized how deeply God loves us in every detail, you see. We saw, you know, he knows our thoughts from afar. He knows our words even before they're on our lips. He knows when we rise up and when we lie down. He knows when we go out and when we come in. Nothing can we hide because he is so concerned about every detail of our lives. Well, if he's so concerned about every detail of our life, it's not just that he wants to know what's happening. He knows everything that's going on. But he's concerned that his will is being expressed in every detail of our lives. That he's not satisfied with a sort of a general kind of sort of obedience. But he says, no, come on. Let's argue this together. There's a passage in Isaiah which is great about this. You know, God says, okay, let's sit down and argue this together. And what he says, to paraphrase it, is this. Now, first of all, let's just consider this. Who is God and who is not in this relationship? And okay, if we've got that straight, who is God and who is the one that is relating to God, then what matters most, what I say or what you think? It's a wonderful portion of Scripture because it puts all of us in our place, you know. He is the one who is the creator and maker of all things. And he is the Lord, he is God, he is the boss. So, you know, God can sit us down and say, right, now just remember that I'm your Lord. But we can't sit down with God and say, now, Lord, I'll do a bargain with you. You know, I'll give you first 10% and then you bless me. He says, no, 100% is mine. Oh, this is good. Get this. I was reading one of, you know, Wesley's been preaching to me this last week. I've been reading his sermons, so he's been preaching to me. And he was talking about this saying of Jesus, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. So I've always looked at that and thought, well, praise God, Jesus is my righteousness. So my righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. And I was brought up short by what some of the things Wesley was saying, because he says, look, what Jesus is not saying unless his righteousness exceeds, but unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. That he has become our righteousness in order that our righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And he's preaching to people, you see, in the, obviously, if it's a sermon. So he's saying, well, now, does your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees? And he takes a whole number of series of examples. He says, for example, a Pharisee would give 10% of everything that he received to the Lord and another 10% to the poor. So actually, in his righteousness, he was giving 20%. Away. And he just asks the congregation, does your righteousness exceed that? Yes, it made me stop and think. I mean, actually, praise God. By his grace, we've been able to do that. But you see, the point is, we look at people under the law and we think, oh, we're up here somewhere. And God says, oh, wait a minute. I have raised you to the level of sons of God in order that your righteousness will be greater than that of the Pharisees. And as he says, you know, the Pharisees would never miss a time of prayer. They have their five times of prayer every day. Never miss a time of prayer. Be absolutely strict about that. And he says to his congregation, does your righteousness exceed that? That out of your love, not out of legalism, but out of your love for God, because you love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, does your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees when it comes to prayer? They would never, ever miss a time of worship. They would never, ever miss the, you know, the sacrifices in the temple or anything like that. Does your righteousness exceed that? He says a Pharisee would fast twice a week, on 2 days of the week. He says, does your righteousness exceed that? Now, I'm not suggesting that we, you know, immediately we start to give 10% here and 10% to the poor and boom, 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 because we can do that out of a legalistic attitude. But what I believe this helps us to understand is that the only thing that glorifies God is what we do. Because Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And the fruit is the result of what you do. Oh, yes, we praise God, just as the Pharisees would never miss a time of worship and so on. We would praise God and all the rest. But if we don't do the things that we need to do in order to foster our relationship with God, if we don't do the prayer that we need to do in order to be in that place of vital faith and of love for Jesus, then what is going to happen with the rest of our doing? Is it going to come out of relationship with him? Is it going to come out of being empowered by him? Or is it going to come out of a real heart dependence upon him? So I'm only quoting Wesley because I don't want you to try to imitate that sermon or anything. But you see, what I want you to understand is that holiness is what you do. Not just who you are, it's what you do. Righteousness is not just a state of acceptance in the sight of God, but it's what you do. And what is concerning God at this moment is what we do. Now, the more and more that I've read 21 of these sermons, I think, of Wesley so far, so I'm getting really zonked. I mean, he's talking. The thing that's brought me up short is this. I've told you about, you know, the times of holiness and things that we've known historically in the history of Kingdom Faith. And as I've read Wesley, he's talking about that not being something unusual, but God's purpose for every believer all the time. He's talking about that kind of life and relationship with God being sustained because of our dependence upon the Holy Spirit and because we really believe that we are the children of God that have been not only forgiven but separated from sin and therefore are liberated to live the lives that God is calling us to live now. And you see, this is the point. He is your holiness now. Doesn't matter what you've experienced in terms of, you know, coming into a holy experience with God. He is your holiness now. He is your righteousness now. He is your redemption now. He is your wisdom from God now. He is your healer now. He is your provider now. Yes. All the good things that you like to focus on. But everything is now. He is, because he's the great I am. So, God is training us up for righteousness. And you see, what have we got to say to an unholy and unrighteous world unless we're living and walking in the light ourselves? How can our light shine before men if we're not living and walking in the light? So, I think we've just got to understand this, the point where we are now. We're not doing God any favors. I mean, you know, it's not as if God is saying, oh, you wonderful children, seeking me as you are, praying to me as you are, pouring your lives out to me as you are. How wonderful. He's saying, my plan and purpose for you is a holy, righteous, redeemed life that bears much fruit for my glory. Now, you need to allow me to do in you everything that I need to do for that to be a reality. And that means you're not doing me any favors. I'm doing you a favor. This is what God is saying to you. I'm doing you a favor. I'm doing you a favor in getting you to face the reality of where you are truly in relationship to me, of understanding what it is I need to do in your life in order for it to be possible for you to fulfill the call that I have made upon your life. Now, of course, what we experience is that the measure we give is the measure that we get back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We don't want a righteousness less than that of the Pharisees and to be considered least. I mean, Wesley says those who are least in the kingdom are those who aren't even part of it. We don't want to be anything like that. God's purpose, desire, will for every one of us is to be great in his kingdom values. He wants you to be great, not the least. And therefore, He's wanting to see all these things outworked in your life. So, we can't be casual about this, can we? We can't be casual about our relationship with God. We can't sort of, well, Lord, you know, this is the amount I'm willing to pray. Take it or leave it. And, you know, this is the amount of my life I'm really prepared to yield to you. You just have to take it or leave it. You know me, Lord. You know me when you called me. You know, all that's absolute deception, isn't it? Oh, Lord, when you called me, you knew what I was getting, and you knew I'm just not one of those really holy sort of people. You knew that, but you love me anyway, don't you? See, utter deception, isn't it? Hello? So, God, by his mercy and grace, and in the wonder of his love, is just opening our eyes. And I know that God's purpose, I've told you this before, God's purpose is much greater than what he's doing amongst us here. We are part of something new that God is stirring. There's going to be a new reformation in the church. But I mean, this is going to be hairy, let me tell you. It is going to be hairy, because you only have to hear what I'm saying this morning, or what the Lord is saying to us this morning, to know that this would not be well received in the vast majority of churches. They wouldn't even want to hear it, just as they didn't want to hear it in Wesley's time. So they barred the churches to him, so he preached in the churchyard. He stood on a tomb and preached in the churchyard, because he's only a little guy, 5'2". So he stood on a tomb and preached there, but he was not going to allow his voice to be silenced, because, you know, the word of God was like fire in his bones, just like for Jeremiah. So we are part of something that is going to impact the world, but has to impact the church first. The churches. And so what God is stirring in us, and what I'm sure he's stirring in others in other places that we may not be aware of at this time, but this is how God works. He knows through whom he can initiate things. He knows those who will be sufficiently supple in his hands, like the clay in the potter's hands, to allow him to bring them through to the place where they need to be. And he knows where there would be resistance to that. So he knows where to work. And we can be encouraged by the fact that God has chosen to work amongst us here. That doesn't give us the right to judge what is happening anywhere else whatsoever, because we've got enough on our hands to respond to what God is saying to us without worrying about anybody else in that sense. But we have to be a light, a city set on a hill. We have to be salt for the earth, not just for the churches, but for the earth. So how can we be salt unless we taste of holiness and righteousness like Jesus did? See? And, you know, It's not a question of saying, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, Jesus has made us holy and righteous in his sight because he is the blood of the Lamb, because of the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, praise God. What the world needs to see is righteousness. What the world needs to see is holiness. What the world needs to receive is the love of God, to see it. Not just to hear Christians preaching about God so loved the world. They need to see the love, see the righteousness. That's the challenge for us and for all of God's people everywhere. So I praise God for what he's begun amongst us. Amen. There's just one more thing I'll say. As I see things at this moment, we dare not fail him. We dare not fail him. God has chosen to work among us, and as he is, I'm sure, among others. And if this is to have, ultimately, a much, much wider impact, simply than what would happen in Kingdom Faith, even, in all its ministry, wherever Kingdom Faith exists. But if this is part of God's purpose that is much greater than just Kingdom Faith, we dare not fail him. But we can take comfort from the fact that God, in his wisdom, does not choose those who will fail him. But I believe he knows that by his mercy and grace, we will prevail. And God will do in and through and among us what he has planned to do. But it's going to require all that we have, all that we are, that wholehearted yieldedness to him. We cannot tiptoe through the tulips, you know. We pull down every barrier so we can advance and take the territory. And it's only a determined people that will actually do that. So, what I believe God is saying to us this morning, dear friends, is don't just aspire to be holy and righteous because Jesus is your holiness and righteousness. That's essential. But desire to live the holy life, to live the righteous life, to actually fulfill the commands of God. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And to realize this is not a matter of debate. There's nothing to discuss. It's only for us to do. We cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot see a movement of reformation and restoration in the church in any other way except by the Holy Spirit. And so we know our need to depend completely upon the Holy Spirit. So let's just come back to where we started. That righteousness is now, today. That holiness is now, today. That obedience to his commands is now, today. That response to the great love that God has for us is now, today. Everything else, your healing, is now, today. But let's just focus on what God is putting before us. When I got up early this morning, I think I had one of the really significant time with the Lord, just hearing what he was saying about this. And you see, I don't know about you, but I've heard God's voice today. And so I cannot put off till tomorrow what I have heard today. And the great thing about being in this together is that you have also heard it today. And so you cannot put off till tomorrow what you've heard today. Amen? Let's all stand.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.